hold of it, and thank God for that. So today we're going to continue on with our series called The Force of Love. I think that sometimes we try and live life as close as we can to God without throwing ourselves completely at what God has called us to throw ourselves at. And when we grew up, you know, our first probably scripture most of us memorized was found in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life." When I grew up, when we went even in public school, we learned that. The Gideons would come in and give us a little Bible, and we'd memorize that scripture. God so loved the world that he gave. And the power of love, people have been singing about it for 100 years. You know, people have been, like, songs have been written and about the power of love, but really not fully understanding what love is. And so God really has laid out in the Word what it means to love and what it means to really live out his love in this world. And really, as church, as Jubilee, as any church that really wants to serve God, we have to come fully to grips with walking in love with each other, and not only with each other, but the world. The Bible said that God put his love on display for us when he sent Jesus, you know. Think about the cross. Think about what he did. Think about the pressure and the power of what he did in taking the sin of the world upon himself. There's no greater love, the Bible says, than when a man lays down his life for a friend. But we so many times equate love to that little fluttery feeling we feel in our heart when we first meet someone, which is kind of cool. And I mean, like, I hope you still feel that for your spouse if you're married, and that's nice. It's a good thing. But that feeling leaves. That feeling's not there every day. That feeling is not always at its strongest. That feeling is just a feeling. And feelings lie to us. Feelings tell us things that aren't true. I remember one time, this was years ago now, Bob was just getting into biking. And you remember he used to come in his little bike shorts to church and do his bike, you know, group. And he was telling us about, you know, he was out on his bike and he was riding his bike and how he rode it so hard that he thought his heart was just about finished. But then he got a heart monitor and it told him his heart wasn't even near the edge of where it could go. But he felt that he was pushing himself as hard as he could do, because feelings will tell us things that are not necessarily true. Because feelings will often take us to a place of comfort instead of a place of pressure. And I think really to love and to know love is to love when things are not good, when things are not easy. Like, it's easy to love on that day when you stand in front of a church and you say your vows to each other and you're all kind of like, you know, starry-eyed. It's hard to love on a day when things aren't going well and your spouse is nagging at you or complaining about something, or you just don't feel it anymore. It's harder to love. It's easy to love when we first, you know, get to know each other as friends and we feel like that kind of excitement of something new and learning each other and learning about each other. And then after a while, when we've done life together for years, it's not always as easy because we know each other's faults. We know each other's, you know, troubles. We know each other's annoyances. But God has called us to love each other. So that's what this series is about. God has prescribed a way for us to live, and unless we live that way, we'll never fully experience the life God has for us on this earth. There is a better life that God has for each one of us. There is a life that really is fulfilling, that really, you know, flies along on all cylinders. There's a life that's really special. But really, to live that life, we have to do life God's will, God's way. I love it. I was at Jim Cobray's church in California, and he was talking about what is good and what is evil. And when he said, well, this really set in my heart, he said, good is God's will, God's way. Evil is anything else. So we sometimes judge ourselves and we think about ourselves and we think about how we treat people and how we act toward people judged on how other people treat other people, right? Well, you know, I'm a good husband. I'm better than most. I mean, I bring you flowers once, you know, a month, or I write you a nice note once in a while. I always bring a card. I'm always on time for your birthday. You know, I'm pretty good. But God doesn't judge us, excuse me, compared to other people. God judges us by His standard. And His standard is I might be doing all these good things, and it could be even simpler than that for me. If I don't do it God's way, it's not the right way. And loving has got to be God's way. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures here, and then we're gonna go on. But these scriptures just tell us the reason to love. And there's lots, but I just picked out a few here. In John 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So number one, to love each other is a command of God. It's not an option. It's not if I feel good today, or if I feel like it today, or if I'm in the right mood at the right time today, then I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna care about, I'm gonna go the extra mile for you. It is that I am commanded to, and I'm obedient. Galatians 5, verse 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any strength, but faith working through love." So faith works through love. We brought a flashlight here a bunch of weeks ago, and it's like the batteries in a flashlight. The flashlight doesn't work without batteries. Just like, really, faith doesn't work without love. So many times we're trying to live a faith life, and we're trying to do and get the things that God's Word says that we could have, but if we don't really live in love, faith don't work. It's like trying to get a flashlight going without the batteries. I was actually snooping through the basement yesterday because Christine was looking for a C-size battery. Now, whoever came up with that one was ridiculous, because nothing uses C-size except, you know, just the odd little game or something like that. So anyway, so I go in the basement. I find this flashlight that's the perfect size for a C-size, and I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. And then I'm looking. There's no battery. But you got to shake the thing to get a battery, and I don't even know why I'm telling the story. Anyway, faith works through love. So then it says in 1 John 3, verse 14 to 16, it says, "For we know that we have passed from death to life because we love other believers. The person who doesn't grow in love remains in death. This is the way we've known we pass from death." This the idea of death in that verse is a life without Christ, a life not connected to God. To life is a life connected with God, right? Is that we love each other, right? And it goes on to clarify, I think, in the verse that if we're not growing, doesn't mean we're perfect today, but we're working and developing in love. If we're not growing in love, we remain in death. So if you're going to keep living the same selfish way that you've always lived, if you're going to refuse to love, or you're only going to choose who you will love, then you remain in death. But if you're working at it and growing in it and developing in it, then you've moved from that place. Everyone who hates another believer is a murderer. And you know that a murderer doesn't have eternal life. We understand what love is when we realize that Christ gave His life for us. This means we must give our lives for other believers. There's this whole responsibility as we come to Jesus to love and to give our lives for others, to lay it out for others. I don't think most adults would understand this that have lived long enough. Some of the most special moments in your life and the most rewarding moments in your life is when you've really given up for someone else. There's a day, you know, like we're seeing it in our family over the last few years, where when it was Christmas time, it was all about the kids, you know, and they were like, you know, excited, and I want this, and I'd like that. And over this last few years, it's really been, what can we give now? And being excited as someone opens a gift that they gave. That's the whole idea of maturing in love. There comes a point where we leave selfishness behind, and we live selflessly. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how when we come to Christ, we're really babies in our spiritual walk, right? Babies, I mean, Steve and Melinda know this, right? Babies want what they want when they want it. babies will cry and scream, and they'll, if they want to eat, it's like, meh, right? If they want their diaper changed, it's just like they drop it in there and then they scream. Because they're focused on one thing and one thing only, it's what makes me happy. But if they're 5 years old, it's not nearly as cute as when they're 3 months old. And when they're 15, it's pretty ugly. And for the ones who make it to 30 and are still like that, well, we, you know, it's not right. We need to grow. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says that when we were children, that we thought, acted, and responded as children. But when we grow up, we put off childish things. We put them off. I mean, you could tell a lot of times, especially where a child has grown up without influence of parents, they stay selfish for a long time because they don't have that idea that there's something to put off. There's an expectancy in the Bible that we will grow and develop as God's children in love. It talks about that in the middle of the love chapter, right? When I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. But when I grew older and when I grew up, I put off childish things. It's a reason it's in the middle of the love chapter, because it relates to how we walk in love and maturity. So we're not to think about our own self and our own desires, but we're to think of others and what they need. So it's not right for you to be thinking about you all the time. It's not right because you should be thinking about me. Right? And it's not right for me to be thinking about me all the time because I should be thinking about you. It's that whole idea that I've got your back. It's a biblical idea that, you know, don't worry about you. Someone else is going to look after you. You just worry about serving others. So after that, we talked about how we need to be replanted or transplanted. When we live in the world, we're planted in selfishness, the Bible teaches us, and we're planted in what's good for me, right? Because this is one thing I hear a lot. I hear this an awful lot, is I got to do what's best for me, right? And people don't think about necessarily what's best for their spouse or what's best for their kids or what's best for their employer or what's best for the other drivers on the road. They think, what's best for me? And that's not a biblical idea at all. But you hear it a lot, even in the church. It's not about me and what's best for me. It's about God and what's good for His kingdom. And it's about others and what we need to serve them. So we need to be re-rooted in love. It's not really a suggestion. It's a command of Scripture to love one another. Because when we do this, it shows that we pass from death to life. It's an indicator. It's like a gauge. I was going to go change the air filter in my car yesterday, and this car I have has this kind of weird filter in it that you don't just change air filter, you know. Like usually you buy an air filter for $8 or $10, you stick it in. Well, this air filter doesn't need to be changed. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how does that work? Well, there's a gauge on it, and it tells you when it's moved from being clean to dirty, and when it's dirty, now they can hit you for $300 instead of for the 10, right? But there's that whole idea of passing, right? It's an indicator to tell you what's going on. Well, the indicator we have to tell us what's going on in our life as Christians and being spiritual is the indicator of, are we walking in love? Because that's how we show that we pass from death to life. So God wants us to have a life rooted in Him and His love. Because when we are rooted in life with God and in love with God, we can understand God's love for us. As it says in Ephesians 3, verse 11, that when we're rooted and grounded in love, we can understand what is the depth, what is the width, and what is the height of God's love for us. And in turn, as we know that love, we can start to understand God's love. So when we understand God's love, when we start to think about the love that drove, you know, God to send His Son, to give His Son's life for us, when we think about the love that made Jesus walk all the way to the cross and go through everything He went through, including taking all of our sin, all of our shame on Himself, being separated from His Father, going to hell, and taking all that, When we start to understand that, then we can understand what God's heart beats for and what God really cares about. And what God really cares about is others. It's the people that don't know. He cares about you. He loves you. He's shown that to you. But He wants us to show to others the great love that He has for them. I don't know about you, but God changed my life. Even while we were doing communion, I was like, God, I just am so thankful to You for all You've done in my life. But it's not enough just for me. There's something about the love of God demonstrated that really, just really makes people see who God is. You know, we got to love people like Jesus loves them. It's in understanding the immenseness of love that led God to send Jesus, and that made Jesus willing to go through everything He went through so that we'd be moved to the same love, to put the goodness of God on display so that everyone would have a chance to know Him. So if we read the whole love chapter in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll learn about how we need to love in order to be effective and bear fruit and see increase. And we learn about what love looks like. And then it concludes with the verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Goes on in chapter 14 in the first verse, it actually goes on to say, pursue love. Go after love. Work at love. Go for it. Lay hold of it. That's what the idea is. But there's three things, faith, hope, love. The greatest is love. Doesn't make the other two unimportant or useless. It just means that love is the thing that sort of holds it all together and makes it all work. So we try, as we even said in the one verse, right? Try to live a faith life, but without love, it doesn't work right. So we need the love of God to make that work. They work together, the three things, to produce the life that God has for us. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, it says, moreover, an attacker may defeat someone who is alone, but two can resist him, and a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. So all these three things are important, faith, hope, and love. It's three things that make something strong and stronger. But we need to develop all three of those things, but mostly we need to work on developing love. Because really, our life depends on it. Our life with God depends on us being people that love, right? Again, we know that we pass from death to life because we love. There are some people, this is one of those things, right? When I talked about last year, some things are simple, but they're not easy, right? What's simple? We got to love each other. We got to love each other. That's simple. That's a simple truth. Easy to remember, right? Love. But it's not easy. There are some people that are really, really hard to love, right? There are some people that are like impossible to love. They make it so hard, they get under your skin, and they drive you crazy. Everybody has a few people like that in their life, right? And it isn't always the same people. Who I get along with and I love, they might just get under your skin and make you nutty. But we all have those people in our life. But it doesn't say that we should only love the easy to love. It says we have to love each other, right? We have to love everybody, not only the people that are easy to love, but the people that are hard to love too. This is not a really good time for anybody to be looking at their spouse because they should be easy to love. The difficult thing, though, is that the Scripture doesn't say that we should just love people that are easy to love, right? This is what it says in Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. You're familiar with the old law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. This is Jesus speaking, right? I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created self. This is a decision, right? This is what this verse is saying. You could decide not to do that, But if you really want to live out of the life that God really has for you, we're gonna respond with the energies of prayer. We're gonna work out of our true selves, our God-created self. This is what God does. He does. He while we were still sinners, the Bible says, while we are of no use to Him whatsoever, Jesus died. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anyone can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out of your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you. This is a really important point. To grow up is to live generously toward others. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved that He gave. It was a given that with love is giving. Right? It's not just giving because someone gives to you. It's not just giving because it's convenient. It's not giving because, well, I have too much and I can't carry it all, so I'm going to give some to you. And, you know, it's not that. It's giving. It's loving. And it's giving because you love. Because you choose to love. God chose to love us. There's the idea that in learning to love or in developing of love that you will grow up and develop into a fully adult or fully mature Christian. It is in learning to love that you become mature. Again, it's not easy. It's not easy. But we have to live for the kingdom of God rather than for our own selves. So how do we develop? How do we do it? It's not easy, right? But I think it's a lot like weightlifting or bodybuilding. It's a lot like that. So I was hoping for Johnny to be here, but he's not. So I guess Jeff is next most muscly little man here. So why don't you come on up, Jeff? And Logan, why don't you come on up? Come on up. It's all right. Don't be shy. He makes you look short. Yeah, he does. But you make him look skinny. So, like, if you see Jeff, he's got, you know, some pipes. Can you flex them for us? Let's see. Come on. You got better than that. Like what you did in front of the mirror this morning. Yeah, yeah. And Logan, you want to flex your pipes for us? Right. Because they're pretty different, right, as people. Like, as the way they're developed, they're totally different. Because Logan really isn't developed yet. Right? And it's not bad because he's young, but right? So for like Logan, if he is going to start working out, these are a little heavy. Don't hurt yourself. So what I want you guys to do, because you're strong, is just stand here and curl like slowly. Right? We're going to see who lasts the longest. Nice and slow. Okay. So work away at it. Can you hold that? Yeah, that's good because that'll make you last longer. But like when you start out, Logan and Jeff both have all the same muscles, right? I mean, if you look around, little Gavin back there has all the same muscles that Jeff and Logan. I mean, Jeff and Logan. Is that your name, Logan? It's morning. Right? But the difference between Jeff and Logan is that Jeff's muscles are developed. How about, you still working out?
At work.
But you used to work out, right? Quite a bit. So it looks like you're slowing down. Anyway, but what happens is when you work out, you guys can stop now if you want. When you work out, what happens to your muscles? They tear. And then what happens after that? And then what do you do? And after you cry?
Sit around.
And then?
Cry some more.
And then?
Work out again.
Right. And then what happens then?
Same thing.
What? Muscles tear.
Cry.
You rest.
They heal.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. So you've done a lot of crying. Logan hasn't cried very much yet. You guys can have a seat. It's hard, right, to develop muscle. I did this thing called Power 90 for a long time. I don't know if any of you have ever done it. Tim Horton. I think that's... No, it's not Tim Horton. It's Tony Horton. I like Tim Horton. I don't like Tony Horton. After you do a video for like 6 months and you hear the same guy cracking the same jokes every day, it just gets a little bit old. But, I mean, when you start out, you know, we're doing these, you know, fast feet and all kinds of like really hard exercise. And while you're doing it, you're like, the first time I did it, I thought I was going to die for sure. Half the time I was laying there while the kids, they were little back then, and they'd sit on the couch and watch me and laugh at me, right? But then after a while, I got good at it, and I could do it, and I felt strong. Because what happens is, when you want to grow as a bodybuilder, you have to put pressure, right, on your muscles, right? So the more, as you grow, the more pressure you need, right, to develop your muscle. You need more. So like what works now at 10 pounds, see, Jeff was handling 20 as easy as Logan was handling 10. How much can you curl, or how much did you curl? 20 pounds? A lot? I used to have a friend who would curl about 300 pounds. You know, he's like a bodybuilder. He's strong. But when he started out, he was a skinny little kid, and he was doing, you know, maybe 75 pounds on a curl bar. Now, you develop over time because your muscles get stronger. As Jeff said, they tear down, they rip, then they heal. You got to take some rest between. Usually when you bodybuild, you don't go every day to the gym and work on the same muscles. You go every couple days and work on the same muscles, because in between, your body needs a chance to heal. Your muscles need a chance to grow and develop again, and then you go back and you rip them up again. And then you go and you rest again, and you cry, and then you rest, and then you grow again. That's what it takes to grow as a bodybuilder. To develop as Christians, like Jeff and Logan have exactly the same muscles. It's just in Jeff, they're more developed. Now, could Logan look like Jeff? He could, just taller, right? But sorry about that. But he could grow, but will he look like Jeff? Maybe not. If he never does anything to grow his muscles, he'll probably stay thin and weak his whole life. Not saying, sorry. Sorry, Logan. He's not going to want to come to church with me anymore. He's my son, for those of you that don't know. So we're okay. He's got to love me. You know, the muscles grow when you develop them. And it's the same thing with our Christian walk. You could stay thin and weak as a Christian your whole life. So many people never develop as Christians because they never, ever are willing to take the pressure required to do it. In this life, there will be pressure. There will be things that test you. There will be things that push against you. There's going to be times where it's going to be really, really hard to love. And unless you're developing in the times when it's easier, like when you're walking down the hall of the church and someone doesn't say hi to you, if you can't look over that and just say, like, you know what, it's okay. They didn't mean anything by it. I'm going to love them anyway. I'm going to return. If it was even mean, I'm going to return, you know, kindness and love for what seemed like it wasn't very nice. If you're not able to handle that, you're never going to handle it when someone betrays you and God still asks you to love them. We have to grow. And at the beginning, we use a light weight and we keep going and we keep trying and we keep pushing. And as time goes on, we grow stronger. Our muscles tear, right? Because that's what happens. I guess our love muscle is our heart, right? And sometimes it gets torn. And there's times in our life we just need to rest and let that muscle heal. And then we go back out and we go out there and we love again. We push again. We try again. It's important for us to realize that it doesn't always come easy. In our spiritual person, God has created us all equal. We have all the same spiritual muscles and the same ability to develop those muscles. But sometimes people develop, other times they don't. To develop the muscles, you have to put pressure against them. And pressure repeated over time will make you develop. Logan, again, most of you know him. Like a year and a half ago, he was this tall. And he's grown like, he's like the beanstalk and Jack and the beanstalk. You know, like he's the beanstalk. He's grown so fast. And that happens naturally. And you'll grow. You'll look like an adult as a Christian. You know, people will look at you and say, well, they've been around the church for 10 or 15 or 20 years. They gave their heart to Jesus a long time ago. They're adults. And it might seem like that, but you might be an adult, but you still need to develop and grow in your relationship with God and in your love walk. In order for Logan one morning to flex in the mirror and see muscles smiling back at him, right, he's going to have to develop. And same with you in your Christian walk. For you to flex in the mirror one day as a Christian and be able to see love smiling back at you, you've got to develop. You've got to put some. You got to be able to take pressure. In order for us to develop, pressure has to be applied in the area of our love walk. But so many times we hate when we experience pressure in the area of relationships. When we experience pressure in the area of relationships, sometimes we just want to run. Sometimes we just want to be angry. Sometimes we just want to put up walls. We want to reject. We want to push back because that's not right. It shouldn't happen. We're Christians. But it does happen, and people do hurt you. It's how are you going to deal with it and how are you going to develop through it? Here's the thing. We need to look at the pressure in our lives as a privilege and use it for development. That's hard. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptations. Now, in brackets, you'll see on the screen there an explanation of what temptations means. This is from Matthew Henry's commentary. It says, not in the limited sense of allurement to sin, but trials of distress of any kind which test and purify Christian character. The love walk. Right? Brothers and sisters, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of temptation. How many of you count it all joy? Can't say I always do. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Again, the whole idea of maturity, being grown up, being developed, perfect, entire, lacking nothing. God is more interested in your development than in your comfort. So when you get an opportunity to love someone who's hard to love, count it all joy. So that's not just like, oh, okay, whatever. It's that kind of, you know, Christmas morning, sitting by the Christmas tree, open the perfect gift, jump up and down, scream and yell, do the happy dance, kind of joy. All joy, right? We got to treat it like it's helpful to us. Like it's not our enemy, but that it can help us to develop and to grow. We can be, you know, growing through it. Because it'll provide the pressure we need to develop. Instead of crossing the street looking like you see something you need in the store window so you can avoid talking to that difficult person, you walk around town with your idiot radar on so you can find opportunity to develop in love. You know the kind of person I'm talking about, right? That person who has learned to talk without ever taking a breath, right? We all know some, right? The person who, when you ask how they are, you wish you never had because you get a full anatomy lesson. There's body parts you find out about that that person has problems with that, like, you didn't even know existed, and you get the full detail on it, right? Or that person that, you know, when you tell them a story about what's going on in your life, they have a better story to up the ante one more than what you can. Or that person that you know is stabbing, that's smiling to your face and, brother, sister, I love you, but you got a Ginsu knife collection stuck in your back that you're trying to get out from them, right? Count it all joy, right? Right? When you start Monday morning that way, because you know that when you start Monday morning that way, it's going to be a good week to develop, and you're going to go home and you're going to cry and you're going to rest and you're going to cry some more and you're going to rest and the next day you're going to go out again and you're going to go for it. You're going to stretch and you're going to push and you're going to get pressure and you're going to grow, because that's what it takes to grow. That's what it takes to grow. Whenever you don't use a muscle, it atrophies. I know so many people who have had casts on for like 6 or 8 weeks, and you see a leg that's been in a cast for 6 weeks, and the other leg beside it, the leg that's been in the cast, looks weak. You know, Christine's had to wear knee braces for a while because she's had some problems with her knees. And so, like, when she talked to the physiotherapist, she said, should I wear them all the time? And she said, no, don't, because you need to develop the muscles around your knee to grow strong. And we need to develop our spiritual muscle, our love walk, to really grow strong and be able to do what God's called us to do. Count it all joy, right? So that you're going to grow in the knowledge of how deep and how wide and how long the love of God is for you. And because you're demonstrating that love, the kingdom of God is going to grow. And so is your reward in heaven. If you can't see it any other way, see it that way. So in order to develop, you have to want to develop, right? Like, if you don't see a reason, then you're never going to go to it. You're never going to go for it. You're never going to be able to take what the pain is. When a bodybuilder starts working out, he realizes there's going to be pain, or she realizes there's going to be pain along the way. It's not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be a lot of hours spent. There's going to be a lot of those times. I remember one time I was working out with a friend of mine, he was a little guy. His name was Roger. And I was working nights, he was working afternoons, so we got together every morning and we worked out at a gym. And so, like, he was little, but he was strong. So we'd work out, and he could bench press way more than me, he could curl more than me, he could do everything more than me, but I always had big legs, so I could always, you know, push the legs. So first time we're working out, you know, he's beating me in every way. And he's like, he's making fun and, you know, teasing me because I'm big and he's little and he could beat me. So finally we start working on our legs, and I'm like, okay, well, now I can show him, right? So I'm loading up the weight. I'm pushing, and I'm loading up the weight and pushing. And the next morning, I slept in an upstairs bedroom. Well, I got up the stairs okay, but I had to back down the stairs, right? There's pain involved. Now, that was stupid, but there is. I remember many times after getting done working out where I'd be in the shower and I'd be trying to wash my hair, but I couldn't lift my arms. You know, I had hair at one time. But there is an expectation, right, that there's going to be stuff you have to go through when you're developing. And there is in our Christian walk, too. If you really commit to growing in the love of God, you have to realize it's going to take maturity. Because it'll not be easy, and you'll not always see personal benefits reciprocated to you, right? When you go out and love someone, they might not return it. If anybody's lived on this planet very long, you probably found out that they won't always return it, and sometimes you're pretty happy if anybody returns it, right? Because sometimes, you know, it's just you go through periods in life where it seems like you're doing all the giving and someone else is doing all the taking, right? But that's what we have to be mature enough to understand, that if we're going to grow in this thing, if we're going to be strong in God, we're going to learn to love. It's not always going to be reciprocated to us at that moment. It might take some time, but we're going to see ourselves grow and develop. We're going to have to look at the growth and thank God for that and be happy with that. There has to be a sense of kingdom of God in your heart and a deep love for God in order for you to really grow and develop in the love of God. Because it is not a selfish thing. Living life God's way is really understanding that there's more to this life than what we just see here and now. There's more to this life than us four and no more. There's more to this life than the people that we know today or that we're really associated with today. There's more to this life, and there's people that are waiting on you to come and see them and know them so they can experience the love of God firsthand from you. But if we're struggling here in the church to love each other and we're all bent out of shape all the time because someone didn't say hi or someone didn't call or someone didn't care, and I feel really bad because it's not what we want here. But when it happens, we have to grow and we have to develop and we have to keep at it and we have to keep growing and we got to feel some pain once in a while and we got to push past the pain and we got to rest and we got to let God heal us and then we got to go push again. That is what it takes to really grow. Again, it's like the weightlifter who starts to work out and realizes that there's going to be some pain on the journey, but that there's a bigger picture out there and a bigger picture benefit. So here's what it says in 1 John 4, verse 18 to 21. And I'm going to close with this. There is no room in love for fear. When you're feeling a lot of fear, right? Really, it's saying there's not a lot of love. You haven't really developed in the love walk, because there's in love, there's no room for fear. Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, a fear of death, a fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love and be loved. First we love, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You got to love both. So, Lord, this morning we come to you, and Lord, we realize that we're going to need your help in this. We're going to need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to need your care. We're going to need the love that you pour into our life, Lord, in order to pour it forth into other people's lives. So, Lord, today we ask you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to fill our hearts and our lives with your love. Lord, even as this week we draw close to you, Lord, let us experience, Lord, firsthand, taste and see that you are good, Lord, that we could actually, Lord, experience your love. And Lord, as you pour your love, Lord, into us, we commit to pour our love and the love that you've given to us into others. Lord, help us to develop and grow as a body. Help us to, Lord, become fully mature, Lord, fully developed as Christians, Lord, as your people, so, Lord, the world would know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for their sin. Lord, help people to see, Lord. You said that they'll know that we're Christians by our love. And Lord, we just ask you to do that work. Lord, even as we commit to develop, Lord, help us to go through and help us to be strong, Lord, and help us to develop in our life with you. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.